You're listening to Crispy Critics here on KVSC. My name is Chris G, and today I'm talking to musician and overall creative person Joe Reinhardt, currently of the Philadelphia-based band Hopalong. Now, I want to preface before we get into the interview that Hopalong are coming to St. Paul with the North Carolina-based band Bat Fangs at the Turf Club on Wednesday, June 13th. Joe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's beautiful here in Philadelphia.
That's fantastic. So thank you for talking with me today. I've got a lot of stuff that I want to mention about this new album, Bark Your Head Off, Dog. It's a truly fantastic record.
Thank you so much.
And so some people may know, you used to be a member of a band called Dogs on Acid, and now you're currently the guitarist in Hopalong. And so it seems like Dogs may be a mainstay in your discography in some kind of way.
Really? That's exciting, because I feel like when it was happening, not a lot of people knew about it. But I guess it's kind of cool to be like, you know, the demo tape theory. It's like, I like them when they put out their demo. Or now that a band is no longer, you can be like, oh, yeah, I like that band. Of course I did. I knew about that.
That's what's interesting about the internet, is it's just there. And so people can be like, oh, yeah, I'm a historian. I know all of that. I was there.
Totally. Yeah. Nothing's as time sensitive.
Right. And so with this new Hopalong album, Bark Your Head Off, Dog, it seems like there's a lot more ornate and orchestral parts to this release, and I'm wondering if it's partially due to the way that you were able to produce it at the studio that you're on, along with Kyle Pulley, the Headroom in Philadelphia.
Well, it's tough to say that one was a product of the other. Going into this, we knew we definitely wanted to use the studio as a tool a little more. Like our last record, while we also did it at my spot, we brought in a producer, it was like, here are the songs. The demos sort of had pretty much the vibe of what the end product was going to be. And we went in, blasted through the songs, tweaked a couple things as we went. But it was just very much a documentation of a rock band on Painted Shut. But on the new one, we were like, hey, let's sort of get back to drinking too much coffee and whiskey and staying up all night and messing with the studio and just seeing what happens, if that makes sense.
Oh, most definitely. It's that kind of putting yourself into even more creative space at some point, especially the coffee, I think, is the biggest part of that.
Yes, and the delirium from lack of sleep, all these things led to some great decisions, and some great decisions we realized weren't so great in the morning, but you know what I mean.
Well, that's what the morning's good for sure. But I want to mention that throughout the album, there are a lot of mini little touches that add very unique flavors. I'm sure from some of that kind of delirious state, but I'm sure some intention that went behind it too. But like, we have a little guitar opening on What the Writer Meant that sounds like it almost went through like a warped cassette recorder, creating this kind of uneasy feeling that I found really cool. And a brief use of vocoder on Somewhere I Judge that just stands out so much throughout the album. And I want to know what it was like working with the band as a whole for the production. Was it input from everyone, or was there someone that will like really kind of push those ideas forward, or was it a big collaborative, everyone get together and let's do this?
It's pretty collaborative, you know? I mean, because especially when you're talking about doing what's best for the song, you're talking about changing somebody's existing part or getting rid of somebody's existing part. So, you know, in order to do that, we had to have the combos, and, you know, I deleted a ton of my guitar stuff, you know what I mean? And they were like, I think you could go back better and play it like this, where I said the same things to everyone else in the band. But I guess at this point, we all just want it to come out as good as it can. And if everyone else is like, yeah, it should be like this, then there's like really no ego on anybody's side of being like, all right, well, if this is what's best for the song, this is what's best for the song, which is really refreshing because, you know, I record bands and mostly get to work with amazing people and meet new friends. But sometimes some of the younger bands come in and they're like, you know, there's ego about a part. They're like, well, I really like this guitar part. I'm like, yeah, well, it's an awesome guitar part, but maybe it's not what's best in this moment of the song.
Sure. I think you had mentioned something similar when you're talking about younger bands too in a different interview, about how they kind of go over, and it's not necessarily a petty thing, but it's a small thing. It's a more insignificant that kind of seems to divide them and riff when the ego seems to come into it in that way.
Definitely. I mean, I'm not saying I'm old and wise, but I'm 35 and have some gray hairs and have been in the studio a lot, and I have far from all the answers. But at least we're all comfortable communicating in a way that isn't like coming across as accusatory or negative or, you know, higher than mighty.
Exactly. I like the idea of what's good for the song, because it's focusing on something that's not exactly human, so you can't necessarily bring all those emotions to it as well. Although, with that said, this album is extremely expressive, and I want to mention the music video for How Simple is just a fantastic piece of art. It just exudes confidence that's so infectious.
Totally. I mean, as soon as you saw the cut, I called Francis immediately, just being like, you are the bomb. it was, she had people working with her, but the whole concept was really her idea. And, you know, I think starring in a video was something she was super uncomfortable with, like, because everyone's always like, you guys got to be in the video. And so she needed to turn it into something that she felt like she could own. And I feel like she did.
And in that sense, it was more like almost like a monologue type thing, if you're referring it to like a stage production. But what I love about the comment section on YouTube is, one, it's respectful. That's something that's surprising on YouTube. And everyone is praising Francis's dancing, which is just so cool. And something that when you see it, you just want more of. It's a fantastic thing. Now I want to ask a little bit about the Headroom in Philadelphia. When did you and Kyle initially start this? I know you didn't start in Philadelphia, but if you could tell me a little bit of background about how you started and just kind of that.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I'd been playing music since I was 10-ish, or trying to play music, and, you know, acquiring different instruments. You know, we found a drum set in the trash, and then immediately I was like, we need to document this. I got a Talk Boy and like some home stereos and started like recording one and then recording the other and mixing them together, and then I moved on to a 4-track, but blah blah blah. My interest in that has always been huge, but you know, me and Kyle went to Drexel University together, and eventually it was like, he had a pile of gear, I had a pile of gear. I was like, yo, we got to do this. And that was while we were still in school. We were both doing it. We were both recording bands. But I think the idea of Paul, like, I couldn't do it without him. Like, I'm too scatterbrained. But, you know, so having a partner and building this together has been huge. It's been beautiful. It's been almost 10 years. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So it's kind of something where you have these ideas and he kind of, like, levels you in a way almost, or keeps things organized?
Yeah. Good cop, bad cop.
Gotcha.
Totally. I do the same thing for him. So it's, you know, his strong suits are not mine and vice versa. So it works out really well.
Gotcha. You have also recorded bands that are not just within the Philadelphia area. You had Joyce Manor come in for an album as well, which I find awesome when I learned that.
Yeah, no, totally. My old band toured with them and we're just, you know, fans of each other. And I did a record for my old band, and they were like, whoa, we like the vibe on this. And then I did actually the first full-length Hopalong record, Get Disowned. And once they heard that, they called me right up. They're like, yo, we are making a record together. And I was pumped because they're just pure, catchy energy, you know? I mean, I'm just an absolute sucker for that. So working with them was a blast.
So working with Joyce Manor definitely wasn't a constant headache at all?
It was not a constant headache. They're buds. And, you know, it was actually probably one of the records, you know, from when people talk about producing, like changing things and adding parts or whatever, stuff I do a ton of and really love. It's probably one of the records I did the littlest of. You know, I was keeping everybody in a good mood, you know, telling everybody, you know, maybe play the guitar part this way because it sounds better. But it was really just trying to capture their energy, not turning it into something it wasn't, because The energy when I went to see them play these songs and just the practice space, it melted my head off. I was like, well, I don't want to change this at all. This is perfect.
Right. Dang. I want to mention something about your guitar playing now, too. With the new album or with any older album, is there a favorite song that you have that you just either enjoyed really recording the parts of it, coming up with the parts of it, or playing live at all?
I think with the be easier just to think about the new record because it's fresh. Somewhere a Judge was like my favorite, how it came out in the studio. Like the two dueling guitar parts on each side with the vocal right in the middle and then the keyboard backing up Francis's guitar. That was fun. That was very much a product of just listening to a lot of the Strokes, I guess. and that was my favorite studio one. And live, I'd say Look of Love is my favorite to play. It's kind of like musical, almost, you know, run-on-y, like George Harrison-esque guitar parts all over it, just trying to create a feeling around the vocal. But that one's my favorite one to play live because it's super challenging and I got to sing, so that makes me nervous. So.
Do you enjoy singing in the end, even though it does make you nervous, though?
Yeah, it's super rewarding when I do it well, and it's super rough when I do it hard. You know, I could go up there and play the guitar and even on a bad day still feel pretty good about it. But like the singing is just like, I'm backing up Francis, you know, like,
right.
There's it's not something I'm as comfortable with. So, you know, we have Chrissy Van Thinlips, who Kyle is in as well. She plays with us live. So it's a 4-piece live to help fill out some of these arrangement ideas we came up with on the last record. And there's some things from the old record that she also fills out really nicely. But so it's great getting to sing with her, just like backing up Francis. It feels really good, like warming up in the back. I feel like a real band, you know. We're doing our vocal warm-ups, you know, feel like Beach Boys or something.
Right? and that's awesome to have Chrissy along with that, because of the fact that the album is so lush. I was wondering how that would translate live. And with all the touring that you've done recently with Hop Along, how has the experience been so far? Has it been ups and downs or just a lot of good ups?
It's great to just be traveling around with your friends, like your best friends, first of all. So it's a van full of people cracking jokes and having a good time, you know. And then on top of that, there's people coming to our shows, you know. So it's like it's the funnest road trip ever. But then we're also doing the thing that we poured our whole life into, and just seeing the response we've been getting has been really jaw dropping. Like walking into this big room and being like, "How the frick are we going to get bodies in here?" And then as soon as we walk on stage, like, oh my God, this doesn't look empty.
Has that been a progression since the last album?
Absolutely. Yeah. The size of the rooms, the crowd, it's just been a really gradual slope upwards. It's been really crazy to see, you know, when everybody talks about, you know, the working parts of the music industry and this and that. And, you know, granted, I have some friends, bands that have been, like, trucking forever and maybe deserve to be a little further on than they are. But most of the time, it's just, you know, I guess if you just keep at it and keep doing your goddamn best you can, you'll definitely see some amount of a slope upward.
Into a bigger room filled with so many people who love all the albums that y'all have been doing. It's some really fantastic work. I know I've said that already enough, but I don't feel like it can be said enough.
Thanks so much.
Because Bark Your Head Off Dog, for me, has been one of the most cathartic albums that I've listened to in the entire 5 months of 2018, which is big because so many albums have come out, and especially within this last year. But it's something that so immediately I identified with, and as personal as it must be for Frances to share the songs that she's sharing, I feel like at the same time they're equally relatable in a sense for a lot of listeners.
I hope so, and I think she thinks that too. Sometimes people, you know, misinterpret what she said. It doesn't really seem to bother her that, you know, everybody's allowed to have their own, you know, what it means to them. You know, it's nice to feel like, you know, you're being talked to and somebody understands you. That's not totally the intent, you know. No harm, no foul. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, most definitely. And so, you know, thank you for talking to me today, Joe Reinhart of Philadelphia, the Headroom Studios, Hop Along.
Thank you. It was great talk.
Absolutely. So I think that's all the time that we have for today. But once again, Hop Along's coming next week. That is next Wednesday, 7 days from now at the Turf Club, Wednesday, June 13th. Doors at 8 p.m., 21 and over show. Bat Fangs from North Carolina are joining Hop Along. And I'm sure it's going to be a very fun event. And yeah, that's about all I have to say. So thank you once again, Joe.
Thank you so much.